KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community. I'm Don Merrill, and I'm talking with Megan Alameda. Ms. Alameda is a high school teacher in Baker City, Oregon. She and her students have gotten a lot of attention for their work on brownfields. Ms. Alameda, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Ms. Alameda, I see that your education was at Lesley University, and you got your degree through the Audubon Expedition Institute. You spent a lot of time visiting schools and environmental sites in North and Central America. What made you go that route in your environmental work?
I think I have always been different, learned differently, and have wanted to see things in a different way. And so when I thought about environmental education, I finally had that classic moment. I had my bachelor's in environmental sciences and resources from Portland State University, and I thought, I want to do something different. I want to figure out how I can incorporate the environment with education. And a lot of educational schools are classic. You go, you learn about education, you learn about your topic, and you go on. And this program is now with Marlborough College. It's, I believe, called Expedition Education Institute, EEI, and it is one of the most incredible transformative programs I've ever witnessed. And I've gone across the country to try and see these. We were literally in a school bus. We slept outside each semester, and every semester we were in a different region of North America. So I was in the Pacific Northwest, the Desert Southwest, and the Atlantic Coast. And then that fourth semester, they said, okay, go off and find an internship. And I said, I'm going to Costa Rica. And they said, okay.
Why Costa Rica?
I had a love of it. I had been there before. It's as a young female, it's one that I felt fairly secure going in. And there was something welcoming about it. There's a sense of environmental awareness and perhaps a little bit of pride in, you know, they have the cloud forest there and beautiful mountains, beautiful two coastlines. It just seemed the right place and a wonderful school to boot.
Did growing up in the Pacific Northwest shape your environmental sensibilities?
It definitely did for me, but I think you could do that anywhere. I was really lucky to have that environmental ethic. I was always connected to the environment, but I was also very fortunate to have access to the environment and be comfortable in it and want to be in it. And I don't think that is for everybody right away. So I had definitely those experiences and have deep roots, I think, in the Pacific Northwest.
I saw on your LinkedIn profile that one of the aspects of going to this Audubon Expedition Institute was that it helped develop conflict resolution skills. Were those important?
Extremely important. This program was transformative not only because you were in a community of people in a region and talking about what those issues were by speaking with the people in that region. We would go to a community that was desperately trying to protect a wetland, and the next day we would go to a lumber mill, and the next day we would go to somebody else who was a singer-songwriter and felt very tied to the environment. So we learned about the environment through a regional voice of different perspectives, and that was truly transformative.
Where did the conflict resolution come in?
Well, this is the part that was interesting. You're on a school bus with 18 to 20 people who are all different, and you have to get along with them in close quarters 24/7. That's different from any other college. You can go to your hour-long class, meet some people, give them a high five, keep going. And in this one, you have an issue with somebody, you have an entire semester and potentially more semesters to figure that out.
So this wasn't conflict resolution tied to your common philosophical bent on the environment. This was about interpersonal relationships.
A little bit of both. But yes, we were a consensus-driven class. And so we would split up into groups and make meals for each other. We would dialogue about what we had learned. Part of the beautiful part about this program was you were learning about your own philosophy. So there's many times when you are trying to figure out what you believe in or what's important to you, and you run across something different, and you have to work that out and think about what that truly means to you and what that means to that other person. So much of it was about the interpersonal relationships as well as the philosophy, as well as all of those interconnections, not only within the school bus, but also within other groups of people that you came into contact with.
What's the age range here?
This was all actually undergraduate and graduate, and then we had a semester that was only graduate students.
You were also program coordinator for OMSI's Hancock Field Station for almost 5 years. Tell me about that.
A great, great experience. I went there as an instructor and then applied and was the program coordinator. And it was just a phenomenal experience to be able to bring educators from that formal education world and into that outdoor education and describe to teachers what we could do with their students. One of the classic experiences that happened almost every single time is teachers would come out and we'd always have a meeting, and the teachers and I would collaborate with them, talk about all the programming that they needed, develop curriculum that they needed, and we'd have this meeting. They'd say, okay, well, now here's the hard part. Here are the kids that are going to be really challenging for you. And I got to this point where I would respond and say, I hear you. Those students are probably really a challenge in the classroom, but I will make a bet with you. Those are the students that will thrive, and I'm pretty sure that you won't hear a peep out of them. And it was true over and over again.
Why? Why do you think that was true?
Because the students that are challenged in a classroom are not challenged when they're out in the open. They're not challenged when you're educating them in a different way. They're challenged most of the time by authority, by being confined, by being told that they have to do things. And when you bring students outdoors, there's not a lot. I mean, there's certainly things you can tell them, but most of it is exploration and gearing things toward their own interest. You know, we're on a hike and we're explaining about the amazing geography and geology and natural history. And they go, oh, my gosh, look at this grasshopper. And you go, great, come on over. Did you know that grasshoppers do yada, yada, yada? And they're entranced. And so they are spoken to with a different educational format.
You seem like you got a lot out of it.
Yes, it was a ton. In fact, I met my husband there. So I got way more than I realized.
And in recent years, it seems that a lot of your attention has been devoted to brownfields. What is a brownfield?
This is a tricky thing, but a brownfield is a property that has either real or perceived contamination, such that that real or perceived contamination inhibits your ability to buy, sell, or redevelop that property. Banks won't lend on a brownfield property until it's cleaned up. If you do your due diligence, you should never be purchasing a brownfield until it is cleaned up. So what ends up happening is if there's a site, a property, this could be anything from an old gas station, an auto machine shop, dry cleaners. It could also be anything like a orchard, anything that humans have put contaminants in and they stay there somehow. So these properties, and a lot of times they're abandoned. So there's two sides to this. An abandoned property that is perceived as contaminated, it's got dust on it, nobody ever goes there. The property value goes down of that property. The property value of the neighboring properties go down, and the self-value of that community goes down. So we have an issue of economics and social, basically contamination, where people don't feel like they get that positive feedback back from their community. Now, if that property actually has contamination, then we also have the environmental impact. So these properties can have a huge impact on their surrounding community, their neighborhood, and their environment.
You and your students were involved in cleaning up the Oswalt Machine Brownfield site in Baker City. Tell me about that. How did you find it? And how did students come to work on what some would consider an environmentally dangerous place?
Yes, this is a tricky situation, but it was actually beautifully done and probably the only way that we would have a program like this in Baker. We were bequeathed this property as an investment, as a mode of getting scholarships for the school. We then realized it was a brownfield, so in essence, it was by accident that this whole thing began. Once we started cleaning up the property and looking at all of the possibilities of how we do this, we thought, well, we're a school district, we should create a class. Once we created a class, we said, time out. We're doing too much work on everybody else's end. Let's have the students do this. So then the students got involved, and what that involvement looks like, and it's always very safe and within the parameters of our insurance companies, these students wrote the RFQ, or the request for qualifications, to hire an environmental consultant who would then come in and clean up the site. When they wrote this, they wrote in this piece about how do you help the students. this class is coming with the site. So what will you, as an environmental consulting agency, do for the class to educate us and involve us? So one of my favorite moments is this class of students who were fairly low achieving, most of them, quite a few issues, not at the higher end of their students, of their academic year. And these students sat in a room with administrators from the school district, the superintendent, the school board member, the CFO, and they all got into a room together, analyzed the request or the proposals that came back, and decided on an environmental consulting firm to hire. And these students walked into that room and out of that room different students. They were listened to, their voices were heard, their opinions mattered, and they were part of a process that did something. So once we hired the environmental consulting firm, the kids were on board, they had all this information and background about the site, then they were both involved. The students and that class became the project managers of the site. And the environmental consulting firm was hired by them to help them understand, to help them clean up, and to involve them as much as possible.
What's the status of the site now?
We actually just received our letter of no further action, and we are in sort of the last throes of the process to be done with it. And so we are getting ready to put it up for sale.
So since part of the work of restoring brownfields is economic, what you've done is restore a piece of usable property to the Baker City area, too.
Exactly.
You were also at a brownfields conference in May here in Oregon. Tell me about that.
Yeah, about this class has been going on for 3 years, and the state, Oregon State, holds a brownfield conference every 2 years, and there's a national brownfields conference every 2 years, alternating. So 2 years ago, I brought my students there, and we presented at the brownfield conference. And then just this May, we did the same with a different group of students. And these have been just transformative experiences. Here is a conference filled with adults. These are consulting firms, subcontractors, politicians, people from really all walks of that profession. And in walk a class of 7 to 10 students, high school age, and everybody looks at us and wonders what's going on. And once we present, it's just an amazing reaction. And it always goes like this: so why are you here? Well, I'm an instructor and I teach these students about brownfields. Oh, that's so wonderful. Thank you for doing that. Well, what do you mean? How do you teach them? Well, they're the project managers and they help clean up the site. Wait, they do what? Yes, they help clean up the site. We're partners and they become the managers of doing this. So they've written the RFQ and they've done all the meetings and they analyze the budget and they figure out the decisions of how much we're going to clean up next. Are you kidding me? How can I be involved? Hey, Bob, come here. Let's listen to this. This is incredible. And so it's been just this movement of excitement behind this project that ultimately I hope will be nationwide.
I assume there are brownfields all over the country. Are other school districts looking at what you're doing here?
That may be the next possibility. The EPA and DEQ estimate that there's over 500,000 brownfields across the country. These are properties that we just don't notice because they've always been there. We've had a long history of making chemicals and not knowing how to properly dispose of them. And so that just kind of happens throughout our history. And so now we have the task of cleaning up all of our unknown messes.
And I guess, last but not least, you were nominated for a presidential award for your environmental work, right?
Well, I was nominated by a few folks that I have worked with, and this has involved a number of people, of course, to get this whole thing going, this program. And I actually said no at first. I said, thank you very much. That's a very wonderful nomination, but we're not there yet. We've got so much work to do. And they all said, just what's it going to hurt? Try this application. So I did. I received it. I'm one of a number of people across the country who have received this award for various ways that they incorporate education or environmental education into their work. So it's quite an honor, and it's been an incredible journey to meet these people and network with many people who are doing very similar things across the country.
Well, Megan, thank you very much, and congratulations to you and congratulations to your students.
Thank you.
Megan Alameda is a Baker City High School teacher. She and her students have been recognized for their work on cleaning up brownfields. For KBOO News, I'm Don Merrill.